Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
This story that we're going to look into this morning is a very simple message this morning. Even the simplest among us could understand it. This is given in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. This is a synoptic gospel story. It's mentioned in Luke 18 as well as Matthew chapter 20. You'll find it, in fact, in Matthew 20, we've discovered that there is not one but two blind men. There's a silent partner that Luke didn't mention, and neither did Mark. Mark got his gospel from the Apostle Peter, since he wasn't there. Luke wasn't there either. Matthew was there, and Matthew mentioned the second guy, two blind men. You thought there was three blind mice, but there's two blind men. But the details of the story, the details is a simple story about a blind man who received his sight, but the details of the story give us a glimpse into the greater story that is being told in the New Testament, which is the gospel of the marvelous and glorious grace of God. So we'll start in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude followed him, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road, and he was begging." So Jericho, first of all, was the first city that they encountered when they came across the Jordan River coming out of Israel, when Israel left Egypt and came across the wilderness many, many years before this story began. And Jericho was the first city they faced. You remember the walls of Jericho came down. They marched around it 7 times on the 7th day. And that's in Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7. But Jericho was the first city of resistance faced by the Israelites when they entered into the land of promises. After destroying the city, back there in Joshua 6 and 7, after destroying the city, Joshua, who was the leader who took over after Moses, pronounced a curse upon the city and commanded it never to be rebuilt. That's in Joshua 6, verse 26. He pronounced a curse on the city and said that this city should never, ever, ever be rebuilt. But the city of Jericho, the place where it had been, was a beautiful area. It was an oasis. And it was filled with beautiful trees that were filled with fruit and figs. And it was a very attractive place. And so it attracted many people. So even though Joshua cursed it and said, "Don't ever build here again," the attraction of the place drew many people to it, and it was eventually rebuilt. And so Jericho was a beautiful oasis filled with fruit, filled with figs, but it was rebuilt. And in fact, we find out that godless kings throughout the years, godless kings, rebuilt the city. 1 Kings 16:33 tells us Ahab was one of those godless kings, it says, who made an Ashtoreth pole. Ashtoreth pole, that was Ashtoreth was an idolatrous worship, and the pole looked a lot like the Washington Monument. And That goes back into some other stuff you could get into, but I'm not going to tell you what the Asherah pole was a representation of. But it was nevertheless idolatrous worship. And Ahab did more, it says, to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So Ahab was a bad dude. He was not somebody that honored God at all. Now, during his reign, it says in verse 34, during his reign, Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. Okay, so he rebuilt the city during the reign of Ahab. Ahab, of course, signing off onto this rebuilding project. And it cost him Abiram, his firstborn, when he laid the foundation, and it also cost him Segub, his youngest son, when he set up the gates. So it's telling us that the guy who was in charge of the building of Jericho, it cost him when he did the foundation of the city, it cost him his firstborn son, his life, and then it cost him his secondborn son when he set up the gates. This was all according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, who was the son of Nun. So it tells us in verse 34 that because of the curse that Joshua put on the place, that when the rebuilding took place, the firstborn and the secondborn son were dead, had died as a result of the curse. And so the place was a curse, under a curse, yet nevertheless it was a beautiful place, attracting many people, and was rebuilt because of that. So here we have a community of people living in a beautiful place by sight. Nevertheless, they're under a curse. You get the picture? Beautiful place, attracting many people, rebuilding it, but they should never have rebuilt it because it was under a curse. So in this, we have a great picture of the world that we live in. We have a picture of the world we live in, and in 3:18 of John, it is under a curse because of its rejection of God. It is under the same curse, but in many people's eyes, it's a beautiful place to be. It is filled with figs and fruit for most people. They want the fruit of success. They want the figs of excuses and a covering. Adam, you remember, and Eve took a fig tree and used that as a false covering for their life. And so they have that in the world system. Everybody wants to be filled with the fruit of the world, the fruit of success, the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of good times and fun. All of that is in the world system. But the world is under a curse when people try to live in it in a godless manner. And that's John 3:18, as we said. People are spiritually blind to their condition. They don't see their need for God, their need for Christ, their need for the things that are spiritual. They only see their need for more fruit and more figs until they grow old and die, having a whole pile of figs which they can't take with them. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, Paul explains it this way: even if our gospel is hid or veiled, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, the God of this world, has blinded. They can't see the truth. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. They are non-believers, they are unbelievers, they don't see the truth of what life really is and their need for God. Instead, their mind is focused on fruit and figs, prosperity and success and whatever else the world offers them. And they live in a world-conscious existence, not ever seeing God in it. And that's when you go and preach the gospel to them and you interrupt them. You interrupt their thinking. And you make them aware of another need in their life, which they don't really want to face. And that's why most people don't like to talk about death or the hereafter or anything else. They want that blocked out of their life, because that's something you don't want to deal with. You don't want to deal with. And that's why a lot of people say, don't talk to me about politics and religion. I don't want to deal with religion. I don't want to deal with life after death. I don't want to deal with that thought, because that brings up another need in my life which I don't want to focus on. I want to stay focused on fruit and figs. That's my life. And that's all I want. But Satan wants people chasing after the figs and chasing after the fruit, and therefore they are, and can to keep them blinded from seeing the truth about their need for Christ and their need for God. So within the crowd of that Jesus is passing by this day in Jericho, the place that is beautiful by sight but cursed by God. It's under a curse, just as everyone in the world is who doesn't know the Lord, but it's a beautiful place to be for many of them. Within the crowd, there is one who is the son of Timaeus. Now, the word Timaeus, which is why we get these kind of words, if you looked up the word Timaeus in your Bible dictionary, you'd see that the word Timaeus means he that is highly prized. He that is highly prized. And that is the love of God for every single believer or unbeliever in the world today. They are highly prized by him. God looks at every person who is not saved as very, very special to him. So special that he was willing to come to earth and suffer and die for them. In 1 John 2:2, he died for the sins of the whole world, everybody that's in it. No matter how bad or how off or how evil or how many sins they've committed or how far from God they've drifted, it doesn't matter. They are highly prized of him. He looks at them as very special. And Bartimaeus is very special to God. And he is the son of someone who is highly prized. And Bartimaeus is in a good place, actually, because he is blind and he is begging. He is poor. He is poor. And blessed are the poor in spirit in Matthew 5:3. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who don't think that they're going to get there because they're a good person. They don't think they're going to get there because they joined a certain church when they were a baby. They don't think they're going to get there because of anything about their lives that they could barter with God and say, you know, I'm not a bad person, Lord. What? I'm not evil like others. I should go to heaven. I deserve it. No, he's poor in spirit. And poor in spirit don't think anything of themselves. They look for mercy. They look for mercy from God on the basis of the fact that God is merciful, not on the basis that they deserve it. And so the word of grace and the word of mercy is like water. It seeks the lowest point. And that's where Bartimaeus is. He is one who is highly prized by God because of love, but one who knows that he is nothing in himself. And verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He heard that Jesus was there. He had no visible ability. He had no vision. He had no eyesight. So he couldn't see Jesus. He could only hear about him, just like you and I today. We don't see him physically. We can only hear about him. So in that sense, we have the audible witness.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Heavenly Father, we cry out to you.